Montreal, theoldorchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm good, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I expected to find you on the sofa watching football and stuffing your face, but apparently not.
No, I golfed this morning, which is a little family tradition we started after Rex passed away, my father. So my sister, my brothers, and I play. Today was a beautiful day, and then we have lunch or dinner, whatever you want to call it. And I always have a game Black Friday. It's either, whether it's in New York or Boston or Philly, that's usually one of the three towns. So I usually head out in the afternoon, and I'm heading out now.
Oh, so that's one of those 1 o'clock games tomorrow, right?
On the big NBC, that's correct.
All right, we'll get to the Bruins. We'll try to squeeze as much as we can in because
go to every game if you want. I try to watch them all. So
everybody, yeah, you're a freak. Everybody played except the St. Louis Blues. Okay, to Claude Julien's point, they were in both games. They came back. They almost ended up because with like 6 seconds to go in overtime, Yarabek was stopped by Rennie Stick on a 2-on-1 in overtime. They almost managed to steal a second point. If you're the Canadians on this day off, what are you thinking about?
We have to play the same way we played for about 35 minutes in Dallas and for about 50 minutes in Nashville. If we can play like that, then we're going to be in every game, but we're not going to score a lot, but we're going to be in every game, and it's probably going to be a one-shot game. Now, some divine intervention last night. You heard Dan correctly say, the two missed empty nets by Nashville, and in particular, you look at Arvidsson and the net that he missed. That's unconscionable that he would miss, but he did. But he did. So you move along and you take the points and you say thank you. If you're at Montreal, you take the 1 point. But Mitch, I would say that you want to play the same way if you're Montreal.
And if you can play the same way, 5-on-5, and hope that some of these guys who are just dormant offensively wake up. But in the meantime, those special teams have gone from worse to I don't know what's worse than worse.
Well, yeah, I understand your point.
You know, they had a 5-on-3. They had 4 power plays.
I watched it.
And both goals were while they were trying to kill off a penalty.
Yesterday, I think you would see me this. Pecorine was in the zone yesterday, and that defense of Nashville was very, very good. I thought in penalty kill situations in particular, they were very good. They're not going to run up against a team like Nashville every single night. That's just, there are not a lot of teams built like that in the league.
No, but that's true. When we talked before the game, they were at over 40% on home ice. Now they're pushing 50%, but this has been an issue since day one.
It has been. There's no question. That's on the staff that's running the, obviously the special teams, and it's also on the players. I'm not seeing a lot of creativity. I'm not seeing a lot of confidence. And in particular, we're talking about on the power play. Not having Weber there takes away a lot of the assets that they would need, just because if he's out there, people have to respect his shot, and that opens up other opportunities. But they're just not overly deep. That's something that's not going to change anytime soon.
But we come back to, and I hate repeating myself, but as we go deeper and deeper into the season, they keep Pacioretty and Galchenyuk on the ice together, which makes no sense. We've talked before, Pacioretty just, for whatever reason, he doesn't produce on the power play. Gallo's got a good theory, everybody's got a theory. Fact is, he doesn't produce on the power play. He's not overnight going to turn into Steven Stamkos or Brett Hull. It's not happening.
No, or Brendan Shanahan. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. But they got to get 35 goals from him. They got to get 35 from him. They've got to get 25 or more from Drouin. They have to, Mitch. I mean, you didn't do this, I didn't do this, but I'm telling you, they have to, or they're really not going to make the playoffs. If those guys don't hit those numbers, they're not going to make it.
Well, Gallo reported earlier today on Twitter that Jonathan Drouin has been trying to play through an injury. So that would explain some of what's not happening here, I suppose.
Okay, he looks like he's hurt. He doesn't look right because he doesn't look like the player that the Canadians really built their hopes up on. But I still don't think he's a centerman.
No,
and I don't think he's comfortable playing there. And I think that's part of the issue too.
Yeah. In case anybody missed the stat sheet last night, he won 2 of 15. 2 of 13 or 15? 2 of 13 draws. He was 2 and 11 or 2 and 13. What the heck was he?
Yeah, he was a 2-11.
Yeah, I mean, that's why bother? Like, you've got another guy who's not an ace at faceoffs, but at least he's better than that.
That's right, and they're always chasing because of that, and it makes it difficult. It really does.
Okay, so I could tell you, Pierre, Jonathan Drouin, I think his production isn't where it should be because he's playing out of position, and he's currently trying to play through an injury. But I'll tell you, Max Pacioretty, I have no idea. Can you give me some kind of explanation as to why Pacioretty does not look like he's going to come anywhere close to 35 goals this season?
I couldn't tell you except to say, during the Toronto game, and I brought it up on the radio here, I was really unimpressed with the lack of commitment defensively against Tyler Bozak that led to the Ron Hainsey goal. I found that really troublesome. Because if you're not scoring, you got to give me something else that's going to help me win. And one thing you can always have, you can be diligent, you can be hardworking, you can be proud. I'm not saying that Max isn't any of those three, because I think he has all three of those things within him, but I'm not seeing them consistently enough, and they need him to be a consistent player. And he's not doing that right now, for whatever reason.
I wonder, Pierre, everybody hears stuff, right? In the hockey world, you hear stuff. You hear stuff all the time. 90% of it turns out to be absolutely nothing, maybe even higher than 90%. But considering where the Canadians are and some of the weaknesses that are obvious to anybody who knows hockey, who watches them play, Gord Miller, for example, last night after six.
They just seem to be chasing their tail on this center thing, aren't they? Like, they just can't seem to nail it down. And I wonder if it's not going to get to the point where you take a significant piece of this team, a current player, and trade him for a bona fide centerman.
And, Elliot Friedman on Hockey Night in Canada mentioned a couple of weeks ago if he was at Edmonton, he would call the Canadians to at least inquire about Pacioretty. Do you think some of this is affecting the way he's playing?
It may. I know he's really proud to be the captain of the Montreal Canadiens. That's not an issue with him. And I know he's really proud to call the Canadiens his team. I know that for sure. I don't know. But, I mean, if you're going to tell me that Montreal and Edmonton have talked, well, I can tell you the need that Edmonton has. They've got two. One's on the back end for stabilizing defense. Montreal doesn't really have that. And the other one is for speed and skill on the wings. Montreal has a little of that. So there's more of a fit with that team probably than maybe some other teams. And both teams went into the season with pretty high expectations. At least internally, that's what both management groups were saying. And both teams have not measured up to the expectations that they've created.
Oilers did score six last night, six different goal scorers last night.
And you know what that said, though? That spoke to the character of some of their guys. I can only imagine what the plane ride was like after the game in St. Louis, where they got throttled 8-2. And I can only imagine what it was like at the hotel the next day when they had to eyeball one another. So that speaks to there's some character there. There's some guys that care. That's what that score tells me.
6-2 Oilers over the Red Wings last night with Pierre McGuire on his way to Boston on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. Rod?
Okay, so the Canadians had their flight back from Tennessee. They're off today. They're going to have a full practice tomorrow, and then they start a stretch of 8-9 at home. What was today like for the players or for the staff? Like, I can't imagine you kind of wallow in self-pity. You must be constantly trying to think about what you can do different. Is it just a matter of establishing something psychologically or a new commitment to practice? Like, what was today like for these guys?
I would hope that they would say, okay, we need to play a harder, grittier game, kind of what we did last night in Nashville, a little bit like we did the previous night in Dallas. Let's get back to work. This is basically our season. You know, we've got to be way better than 500 at home coming up in those next 8 or 9 games. And if not, then I think their season's in peril. I really do. And they had a chance to get some, you know, traction in the standings, Rod, and they weren't able to do it over the last 7 to 10 games. And that's a problem. So that's why this next piece of schedule is really, really important for them.
Just can I go back to the Edmonton thing for a second?
Sure. Yeah.
Because we played the Gord Miller clip about trading an asset for a center, and then we brought up Edmonton, okay? And Connor McDavid's obviously going nowhere. Leon Draisaitl's obviously going nowhere, and he played the wing last night, I believe. Ryan Strome doesn't fix the problems. Mark Letestu, who's their fourth liner. We're basically talking about one guy. And the question I have, Pierre, is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, would that acquisition, if you gave up a significant player from your roster on the wing, would that acquisition help the Canadiens or put them in a better spot than they are now?
Depends what you do with Galchenyuk. Depends what you do. If you play him at the wing or you play him at center. If you play him at center, I think it addresses a lot because I think you can combo Nugent-Hopkins and Galchenyuk, much like what they did in Ottawa with Brassard and Turris, or much like what they're doing in New York with Zibanejad and Hayes. They're, in those two situations in particular, neither one of those four centers that I brought up, and obviously Turris isn't there anymore, but they did make a run to the Eastern Conference Final with Turris as a center. In those cases, those four players I just brought up, none of them is a legitimate number one. But what they can do by committee almost makes them a one by default. And I think if you were to get Nugent-Hopkins, again, I'm not bringing his name up in terms of creating the rumor. This is a name that's been presented to me. If you were able to do that, I think, and move Galchenyuk to the middle and move Drouin to the wing, I think you could do it by committee like Ottawa's done, like what they're trying to do now with Duchesne and Brassard, a lot like what the Rangers are doing. I think you can do it. I really do.
It's hard to imagine, as much sense as that might make on the surface, this particular organization with this particular coach, unless something changes dramatically, moving Galchenyuk back to the middle.
I agree.
Okay, so let's stop there. By the way, I was reminded as Turris won the game in that shootout, Matt Duchesne, since arriving as a member of the Senators, is pointless, and I think he's minus 10.
They weren't ready to play last night, Ottawa and Washington. They were not ready to play. And if they lay that on the line in their next game in Columbus, they're going to get booted right out of the rink. Columbus is for real, big-time good. And they're better than Washington. And I can tell you, Washington had their way with Ottawa last night after the first period in particular. After Ovechkin scored with 5 seconds to go in the first period, that was it. Turn out the lights, the party's over.
Well, Duchesne, do you think Duchesne gets it going, or is it, because it seems like a continuation of what was going on in, and not only what was going on in Colorado, since he left, Nathan MacKinnon is averaging 2 points a game. It's bizarre.
That's fair. It is bizarre. It's fair to bring it up, but I would tell you that I think Matty will eventually get it on the rails. I really do. He'd never been traded before. I think after spending 8 years in Colorado, it was a bit of a shock to his system. I'm not making excuses. That trip to Sweden hasn't done them any good either. That's been tough on them. They have not looked like the same team. In the first four games that they've played since coming back, they've lost all four. And in two of the four games, Pittsburgh and the Rangers both put their A games out there and won. And Ottawa hasn't seen a lot of A games from either Pittsburgh or Rangers until they played them the last two times. So it's, you know, it's, they've kind of had a little bit of bad luck too, to be fair to them.
Pierre on his way to Boston. The Bruins have now won three in a row. An 11th round shootout goal by Charlie McAvoy.
Oh, was he good last night, though? Oh, man, was
yeah,
he good?
We're going to something that was even better in a second. But Anton Khudobin is another. Yep. He hasn't lost yet in regulation time. He made 40 saves. There's all kinds of talk in Boston. Now, it comes from Joe Haggerty. Now, I think people who have followed.
Reputable.
Pretty
reputable.
Pretty tight with Cam Neely that they may be thinking of moving to Caresque.
Well, I'm not going to go there because I'm going to have to see Tuukka tomorrow. And I respect Tuukka a lot. No, but I really do. I've known Tuukka a long time. You go back to 06 Vancouver, Tuukka was the goalie of the tournament at the World Junior for the Finns. He was Toronto Maple Leafs draft property at that point in what ended up to be obviously not a very good trade for Toronto and a pretty darn good trade for Boston. But what I would tell you is that watching Khudobin play, it brings me back to 2011 and the goalie that played for the Bruins and Tuukka backed him up. He's playing like Tim Thomas. He looks like a linebacker in net. He's so aggressive. He's so burly. He's so big. He's throwing his body all over. I had a tape made today. We're going to show it tomorrow on the NHL on NBC. The similarities between Khudobin and Thomas are scary. And if he gets on a Tim Thomas kind of run, anything can happen, including potentially Tuukka being traded.
Okay, but another development there, and I don't know what you would know better since it's your best friend in hockey, Ray Shiro. Adam Henrique is playing the wing
You know why? Palmieri. Palmieri's out. So Henrique plays the wing. They got to find, you know, other guys. They've got some kids in the American League that can come up. But, you know, that's part of the injury situation with Palmieri going out.
All right, I said we had something better for you.
To his feet, still with control of the puck as they try to hold on to him. Tavares pulls it with one hand back, sets up Bailey, save, score! Bailey the winner, what a play from Tavares to set it up for the Islanders' win! Oh, baby!
And that's a play you really have to see.
Oh, man, and Sean Couturier, he's Patrice Bergeron light. He's one of the better two-way center icemen in the league, but in particular in the Eastern Conference. That was, I felt terrible for him because he almost did everything right except stop him at the end. He stuck him, he pinned him to the wall, he turned his back. I mean, he did everything he was supposed to do. John Tavares, he looked like Houdini there. He was like a ghost. You couldn't corral him. That was an amazing, amazing dish. Amazing.
We're going to finish up with the Habs in a minute, but Pierre mentioned Boston tomorrow, 1 o'clock against Pittsburgh. Man, the Canucks just... they cut a swath through Pennsylvania.
How good is Brock Besser? He's going to be one of the big-time guys in the league. I know I talked to you about him his draft year, and right after that when he went to Dakota. He's on a national championship team in North Dakota. He's a Minnesota kid. He's for real. Played for Waterloo in the USHL for PK O'Hanley. This is a special player. He's just finding his way now. You'll see. He'll be a huge scorer in the league and a phenomenal leader for their team. The thing that's impressive there, the Sedins have bought into what Travis Green is selling, and they've been really good teammates. They've been great leaders. Their ice time has been cut unbelievably. They're still producing, but the defense is underrated as well. There's a lot of good things going on in Vancouver right now, and one of those things is Travis Green, their coach. Done a great job.
Canucks with back-to-back 5-2 wins in Philadelphia and last night in Pittsburgh.
20 seconds left in the power play. Forsberg, right circle, shoot, score, saved by Niemi.
How about Antti Niemi? I think everybody, so many people looked at this as a joke. I mentioned yesterday I had the feel of that Montoya game in Columbus last year heading in.
Yep.
And, man, yep. I was so pleased for him to be able to have an impact on this game last night.
Huge impact. Gigantic impact. He's the reason why, you know, they pulled him. The only reason that was close is because of him. He was really good at key times. He made some really, really stellar saves and never really allowed Nashville to get moving the way they usually do. He was great. I was really happy for him as well.
8 seconds. You know, right circle, out front, and a stop made by Rinne. And with 3 seconds left,
that was Jerebek
was denied, and we're going to go to a shootout. And can you imagine if he put that in the net?
What a call-up that would have been.
First NHL game, Pierre, I think he impressed everybody. Has a lot of poise. Of course, he's not a kid. He's been around for a little bit, but and some of it may be the issues that some blue liners on the Canadiens are having, but he didn't look out of place at all last night.
No, he's a pro. He's a man. He's not a neophyte. He's a proven professional player who's played in a real high league for a while. I was impressed. He wasn't shy. That's a hard building to play in for defensemen because of the way Nashville plays. He looked like he fit in very well. Who I feel really badly for is Matej. I feel really bad for Matej.
Well, healthy scratch, and now, you know, with Schlemko, maybe we'll find out tomorrow that he'll make his debut on Saturday against the Sabres. Boy, your friend Phil Housley's really toughing it out down there. That's another loss last night.
Yeah, no, not easy, right? They're having a... that's a tough thing going on there right now. Really, really tough.
So I think you alluded to what kind of conversations have to be going on, no matter what is being said publicly about Mete taking a deep breath and watching it from upstairs, that what the next step logically would be.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know what they do. I mean, they've made a commitment to the player. It doesn't mean he can't walk away from it a little bit and still maintain your credibility. But this is a tough one. This is what I was worried about at the beginning. You know that. And this is about the time frame where I thought it would kick in, right around the end of November, and that's what's happening.